The MLB trade deadline has come and gone, and to the chagrin of many of Braves country, the Braves did, well, nothing. Marcell Ozuna, it was reported no trade came his way that he would have had to have signed off on because of his 10-5 status, and the Braves didn't see anything that caught their eye and apparently didn't get any phone calls that interested them in terms of what a return would be. So to break all that down and more, we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Danny Vietti of Believe Network and CBS Sports. Danny, 33 deals went down this trade deadline, which is crazy to think about. Give me a couple of your biggest winners of the last few days.
Yeah, where to begin? So many moves. And the trend really is relief pitching and getting high leverage, high velocity arms, and stacking your bullpen so it puts less stress on starting rotations and starting pitchers who are seemingly having more and more injuries and are being asked to go less deep in the game. That seems to be this new age of baseball is teams do not want their starting pitchers pitching deep in the ballgame. They do not want them having to pitch three times through a batting order, because the analytics support the fact that the success goes down the third time through the order. And so one team in particular, the New York Mets, added to their bullpen Ryan Helsley, former All-Star closer. They bring over Rogers from San Francisco. A little bit of a different arm than Helsley. Helsley's a high-velocity guy, triple digits consistently. Rogers averages about 81 miles an hour as a sidearm or submarine pitcher. So they did a fantastic job adding to their bullpen, and that is a team that has struggled starting pitching-wise, pitching deep in the ballgame. So that's going to help immensely. San Diego Padres, similarly, A.J. Preller does what A.J. Preller does. And this is a guy that does not care what your opinions are. He does not care what you think of the prospect. He does not care what anyone thinks. A.J. Preller is going to be A.J. Preller. And they go and get Ramon Laureano. They go and get Ryan O'Hearn. They go and make some monster moves in San Diego by getting Mason Miller from the Athletics. And they traded away the number three overall prospect in baseball to get Mason Miller. And A.J. Preller says, I don't care, because right now we are trying to contend in San Diego. They're trying to hoist their first trophy in San Diego. And so I could go on and on about teams that have won, but the San Diego Padres, the New York Mets, I mean, the Yankees did a nice job adding to their bullpen as well. A lot of teams, a lot of moves, and a lot of winners at this deadline.
What did you make of the A's getting back the number three overall prospect in baseball for their closer? Was that too high of a price? I mean, you look at the situation. Mason Miller's great, but you got an 18, 19-year-old shortstop that's supposed to be a superstar.
I'm okay with it for a number of different reasons. It's a lot more convoluted than just, hey, this is the number three overall prospect in return for a relief pitcher. It's a lot more convoluted than that, in that Mason Miller – and this is speculative, you know, we haven't heard anything from San Diego yet. You know, we're supposed to hear from A.J. Preller here shortly. But Mason Miller came up to the big leagues with the A's back when they were in Oakland. He came up with them as a starting pitcher. The only reason the A's transitioned him, converted him into a relief pitcher, was for health reasons. It was not for performance reasons. Mason Miller was expected to be a starting pitcher, and then he dealt with some arm injuries, and they wanted to keep him healthy for a full 162, and that's why they transitioned him into a closer. But when he came up to the big leagues as a starting pitcher, he was dominant. A strikeout per nine up around 10, which is amongst the best in the big leagues. You know, if you want a good dominant starting pitcher, you want to look at that 10.0 strikeout per nine. That's where he was at. His velocity was not quite 103, 104 like it is as he is a reliever, but his velocity was 97, 98 as a starting pitcher. So from A.J. Preller's perspective, and again, this is speculative, but yes, you're probably getting Mason Miller for number three overall prospect in return and a couple other prospects. You're getting a reliever right now here in 2025, which is certainly going to help you in 2025. San Diego Padres already possess one of the best bullpens in baseball, even before the deadline. Now they just got even better. But now you get Mason Miller, who you can and have the ability, if they so choose to, transition him into a starting pitcher with team control contract-wise through all the way up to 2030. So if they, Padres, choose to turn Mason Miller into a starting pitcher and he stays healthy, you now have a dominant starting pitcher that is under team control. He's going to enter into his first year of arbitration this offseason. You have him under team control for another 5 seasons. And if he can stay healthy, you're trading your 18-year-old number 3 overall prospect who knows what he's going to be. Best case scenario is he makes his big league debut in 2 years, maybe 3. And by that time, Mason Miller could be a starting pitcher for you, and he's not even a free agent at that point. So I think from Preller's perspective is that, yes, you get a dominant reliever, but you could get something even greater if they decide to turn him into a starting pitcher.
Bigger offensive impact in the AL West, Eugenio Suarez added to the Seattle lineup or Carlos Correa going back to the Astros?
Yeah, I think Seattle actually, when you look at this deadline, you get recency bias. Like, you look at the latest trades and you think, okay, you know, the Rangers getting Merrill Kelly, that's big. Obviously the Padres, you know, like we talked about with the Mets. But what really got kind of forgotten about almost was the Mariners. And that's because they made their acquisitions a couple days before the deadline. Getting Josh Naylor over from Arizona. Getting Eugenio Suarez over from Arizona. I mean, those are huge, huge moves for a lineup that has needed offense. A lineup that already has Julio Rodriguez, already has Randy Arozarena. They have pieces in place to contend, and they also have a starting rotation, in my opinion, that is World Series caliber good, and a bullpen to go along with it. That front office has not done the job of providing offensive firepower to go along with, like I said, a World Series contending starting rotation, starting staff. Now they have. You add Suarez, you add Naylor to go along with J-Rod, to go along with Randy Arozarena and Cal Raleigh, who I completely forgot to mention. This lineup all of a sudden goes from, you know, below average to now all of a sudden being quite a force. And that's in a division and in an American League that seems to be pretty wide open. Like you just mentioned, the Houston Astros just got even better getting Carlos Correa back into the fold, more experience. It's more of a leadership role. He's going to move over to third base. They're hoping to get Yordan Alvarez back into the fold at some point here. He's been dealing with a hand injury. So the Astros are looking like the contending World Series-like Astros that we've known for the last decade now. But not to be forgotten is the Seattle Mariners team that has battled with the Astros in the playoffs in years prior. They just haven't had the offense to be able to combat the Astros' offense. Now with Suarez, Naylor, this team just got a whole lot better.
Talking all things MLB trade deadline. We'll get to the Braves here in just a second with our good buddy Danny Vietti of the Believe Network and CBS Sports. How much better did the Phillies' pen get with Johan Duran?
He's dominant. This is a guy that possesses 100-plus mile-an-hour fastball with a 98-mile-an-hour, what they call a splinker, which is essentially a very fast, high-velocity splitter. And this is a Phillies team that really has all the talent in the world, but they're kind of, that hourglass is getting less and less. You know, this is a team that their ages with Castellanos and Schwarber and Harper and Trey Turner is still relatively young, but, you know, Alec Baum is still young, but these are guys that have accrued a lot of innings. And Zach Wheeler is another one that comes to mind. Aaron Nola is another one that comes to mind. These are guys that have pitched a lot of innings. They've played a lot of innings. They've played a lot of games in the big leagues. And what history tells us is eventually, you know, Father Time is undefeated. So eventually an injury could start racking up with these guys, contracts start becoming an issue. And so it kind of seems like with the Phillies, this could be one last ride this season, just health-wise, contract-wise, it kind of seems that way with Philadelphia. Some people were speculating whether last year was the Phillies' last ride, but, you know, seemingly they're back in contention this season. So adding Duran to that bullpen is massive because the Phillies, especially after losing a couple guys to free agency this last offseason, they've really struggled in the bullpen closing out games. They bring back Robertson, the veteran. Now they bring in Jeron Duran. He's electric. He's got electric stuff, and he's a dominant, high-leverage arm. That's exactly what Philadelphia was looking for.
Are you surprised here in Atlanta that the Braves stood pat?
Not really. I don't know what best case scenario would have been for Atlanta, and best case scenario probably wouldn't have been that much greater of what actually happened in reality. I'm sure you could hear the argument. Yeah, maybe they should have traded like a Marcell Ozuna. Maybe they could have dealt a Sean Murphy with Baldwin kind of in the fold now. But Atlanta and Alex Anthopoulos just said this as press conferences. He's kind of thinking of their offseason starting today. You know, they're looking forward to 2026. They're not trying to compete here in 2025. And so, yeah, maybe you get a couple prospects in return, and maybe it works out, you know, later down the road. But I just think Atlanta was in a situation where they didn't have a whole lot to give up, nor did they need to give up anything, because this is still a very talented roster. They just haven't performed to expectations. Injuries have ramped up a ton this year, as I know I'm preaching to the choir on that one. This team, certainly, you can make the argument, can compete not just for a division title, but potentially for a World Series title next year if this team can just stay healthy. So they're building for 26. They have nothing to do with 2025.
Before I let you go, what did you make of the Shane Bieber deal? That one is very interesting.
It is. A guy that has pitched, I think, 3 innings in the last year and a half, 2 years, something like that. A guy that, coming off of Tommy John surgery, former Cy Young. Toronto was kind of one of those sleeper teams where they made some moves, getting more role players. And like you said, Shane Bieber, who won't be a role player necessarily, but is coming off of Tommy John. And it's kind of a question mark of how much Shane Bieber we're going to get just coming off of such a significant injury. I thought they made some significant moves. The Chicago Cubs were a bit disappointing, but they made some nice bullpen additions. Like I said, we're kind of coming full circle here. It's really the dominant theme was bullpen arms. And, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays added Barling from Minnesota, another solid arm for them. So a lot of really good moves. I mean, we could talk for days about role players, but it's been bullpen arms that are going to end up, being the dominant theme of the deadline.
All right, Danny, appreciate the time. As always, thanks for checking in. We'll talk soon as the season wraps up, and mercifully so here in Atlanta, Danny, unfortunately.
So anytime. 2026 is not far away, my man.
Yeah.
Stay patient.
All right, we'll do just that. That is Danny Vietti, our good buddy from the Believe Network and CBS Sports. Oh, man. Some of these quotes that are coming out of this press conference from Anthopoulos are just, wow, woof. We'll fill you in on everything else that he had to say coming up in just a little bit. When we get back, Caden Ellis stopped by the radio station. You want to hear what our outstanding linebacker had to say? Don't go anywhere. An exclusive conversation with him on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.